Sometime during the Cold War, the president became, in part, defined as the guy who carried around the nuclear launch codes in case of global thermonuclear war. In the launch code case were the launch codes and instructions of where to go, who would lead, and how would a new government be set up, its rules to be enforced by the secret military elite. It's what you see in lots of disaster movies, protocols, command bunkers, undisclosed locations. The United States of Doomsday is not just a place in the movies, though. It exists in detailed plans drawn up by shadow government officials who are planning for the worst, but who have ended up creating, according to journalist and military analyst William Arkin, a start tomorrow top secret emergency government ready to step in and take control at a moment's notice. William Arkin is the author of the new book, American Coup, How a Terrified Government is Destroying the Constitution. Only in America, Arkin says, would you find U.S. government officials with jobs to write detailed secret rules for taking over their own government, a kind of, in case of emergency, destroy democracy program, all paid for by U.S. taxpayers.
There are 48 presidential emergency active directives sitting in envelopes, more highly classified than anything that Edward Snowden ever got his hands on, that essentially are both pre-written legislation and pre-written authorizations and executive orders, giving to a set of people who we don't know, who have not been elected and have not been confirmed by the Senate, a set of powers should X happen, where X is not even specified, to take over the country. And these are all nameless, faceless, unelected, unconfirmed careerists in the military.
Who can veto the president and Congress, or that somehow the elected government is beholden to on a day-to-day basis?
I'm not sure veto is the right word, but they are the president and the Congress and the elected government when a disaster occurs. In other words, they've got actual orders in envelopes in their safes that say, if Washington is destroyed, you're the Secretary of Defense. So that would be martial law, but it's in this unique design of an American coup that avoids any stain of a military takeover, but yet at the same time is like a much more encompassing takeover that indeed includes the public and private sector, and that's interesting, and also at the same time erodes the power of the states and the local community in terms of their ability to reconstitute a United States. I mean, the federal government didn't invent the states. The states created a union, and the union created a federal government. So in theory, if there were a gigantic catastrophe in Washington, D.C., you would depend upon the governors of the states that are surviving to reconstitute the government. Well, we're exactly in the opposite, which is to say that some set of bureaucrats are going to take over, brush the governors aside, brush the states aside, brush the local authorities aside, and say, as Alexander Haig said in 1981, as of now, I am in charge here.
Do these people know who they are? I mean, is there somebody in Washington who knows I'm the president if there's like a really bad storm?
I imagine the answer to that question is yes. But one of the things I discovered in doing my work is there are already three presidents. We call it the football. The football was the briefcase.
The launch codes.
That contained the launch codes that accompanied the president everywhere. And the football was this venerable object that we kind of thought about as representing, you know, the epicenter of the nuclear era. Well, you know, the football is not just the launch codes anymore. It's a huge trial bag filled with all sorts of electronic gizmos and all sorts of plans and operations and digital documents. And now there are three. There's one with the president since 9/11. There's one with the vice president. And there's also one with the Secretary of Defense. Well, you know, again, you could say, well, that all makes sense. But on the other hand, the Secretary of Defense is sixth in line to be the president of the United States in the Constitution. So the idea that somehow the Secretary of Defense is third, in my mind, that already erodes the Constitution, because you already see that they're cutting corners in their day-to-day operations to say, you know what, we're not going to follow the Constitution or the law in dealing with an emergency. We've already got it covered.
Final question. If this should be implemented, if there ever were an emergency that would cause all of those classified documents to be opened, do you see essentially a conflict between this federal parallel government and the local authorities that would be trying to handle the emergency on their own?
There's two problems I see. One, not only do we have an emergency apparatus which has an enormous amount of influence and control today on a day-to-day basis because it's not just preparing for that one eventual doomsday, but also at the same time, we're changing the nature of the relationship between the federal government and the states and the local community. We're doing it by pushing the state governments to build national security apparatuses. So every state now has a Homeland Security Department. Every state now has an intelligence fusion center. Every police department says that they're doing intelligence-led policing, which includes license plate readers and drones and everything else. If all of a sudden everything becomes homogenized and national, then the very premise of America, which is that law enforcement is a local power and that the federal government can't infringe upon the rights of the states, begins to erode, and it's happening right now.
William Arkin, thanks so much.
Thank you.